The Lord has been speaking to me in the last few weeks, last couple of weeks specifically, about laying on of hands. That's not what this sermon's about, but laying on of hand, my hands on your head. And, you know, you don't have to understand that, but you need to receive it. The Bible talks all through the Scripture about laying on of hands. And there's something that's imparted to you as we lay our hands on you. I stand in the role of a priest when we do that. When Denny comes up and ends with a blessing, he is standing in the role of a priest speaking over you. See, the Jewish people hear that and believe it, and they are blessed because they receive it. And you will be blessed too when you begin to believe that is really a blessing and you take it into your life. So anyway, I am going to attempt, and every time I say this, I wind up preaching longer than ever before, but I really am going to begin to attempt to shorten my sermons because I want us to take time for you to come down and respond to whatever the Spirit of the Lord has told you, not just what I give an altar call, but I just want to start laying my hands on you and believe in God that He's going to begin to impart things in your life. So the Lord spoke to me about 2-3 weeks ago as I was praying about the new year. And then Tommy gave me a CD or DVD, and I listened to it. It was Perry Stone, and he was talking about 2020. And he said the numerical value of 2020 is the Hebrew word kaf, and it's the sign of a man's hand. And he said, so it's 2020, it's kaf, kaf. That's the Hebrew letter, kaf. And it's the sign of a man's hand. And in the Old Testament, the priest would take his hands and he would place them just like that around the horns of a goat. And he would transfer people's sin to that goat, the sheep goat. Is that right? Scapegoat. Thank you. Sheep goat. That's right. It's a strange animal. and that goat would bear the sins of the people. So there's something about the placing of hands. The Bible says don't lay hands on men suddenly. That's talking about leadership. We ordain people through the laying of hands. There's things done through the laying on of hands. So this is important for the body of Christ. So that was the way the Lord affirmed what He was speaking to me. So if you're in your Bible, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6 through 18, it's very possible that you've never heard this passage preached before. He says, but we command you, it does not say we suggest to you, it does not say this would be a great thing for you to do. It says, we command you, brethren, it's talking to the church, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the traditions which he's received from us. For you yourself know how you ought to follow us, for we were not disorderly among you. Nor did we eat anyone's bread free of charge, but worked with labor and toil night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you. Not because we do not have authority, but to make ourselves an example of how you should follow us. For even when we were with you, we commanded you this, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but they're busybodies. Now those who are such we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in well-doing. And if anyone does not obey our word in this epistle, note that person and do not keep company with him that he may be ashamed. Yet you do not count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. The Lord be with you all. The salvation of Paul, salutation of Paul with my own hand, which is a sign in every epistle. So I write, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. God, we pray right now. And Lord, we thank you for your presence in this place. God, I pray that you continue to allow the Holy Spirit to touch every heart, to make alive the message that you have for this hour, for this group of believers. God, we just pray that you continue to do and to build what we have felt in the beginning of the service. God, we just pray, Lord, it continue. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. I tell you, it moved me this morning. There was one time when Treva got quiet and I could hear these deacons praying, and it moved my heart. I thought, is there a more beautiful sound that comes before the Lord than our prayer? I mean, I thought it was gorgeous. I could hear them speaking and praying and believing. And I thought, God, thank you. You have gifted this church with godly people. It is a blessing of God. The church was never designed to be a one-man show. I'm sorry we've turned it into that, but it's not right. It's about all of us. So Paul starts off and he said, you need to note those. You need to mark them. Those people that are walking disorderly. It's really easy to read this scripture and miss that word disorderly and think that it means something else. But the Greek word, I put it up there, A-T-A-K-T-O-S. It means to be out of order at the post. It's a military word. It's where one is positioned. It's undisciplined and irregular. Every one of you have in your mind what the role of the pastor is. And some of you display displeasure when we don't fulfill your role that you have. And you know, I believe we can learn from each other. But I want you to know, in all seriousness, see, I don't think we take this scripture as serious as some others. But I think this is very serious. I don't think he used the word command by accident. I command you. Those that are disorderly, those who have left their post. Have you left your post? I know you still love Jesus. I know you still believe. But there's some of you that have left your post. You've laid down your assignment. If I could get one thing through to you, you do not come to a church only to receive. You come to a church to also give. God's got a place. Now, it's not just in the church. It's elsewhere too. But every one of us have a job to do in the kingdom. You've not been called to pastor, but I've not been called to do what you're supposed to do. But you would criticize me if I decide not to show up on a Sunday morning with a sermon one day. You'd say, where's pastor? He only works one day a week. What's he doing? First Corinthians chapter 4 verse 2 says, moreover, it is required in steward, you're a steward, that one be found faithful. Jesus is looking for faithfulness. Proverbs 6 verse 6 is an interesting portion of scripture. He says, go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which have no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands, to sleep, so shall your poverty come on you like a prowler and your need like an armed man. The church has been found sleeping. The army of God quit putting their armor on. They just quit showing up to their post. You know, if we were in a battle, if it was us against the city, we would have posts around this property. Matter of fact, we do have a post. Because of the world in which we live, we have to have people that watches our door to make sure nothing happens. And I thank God for those people that post up for us. No telling how many lives they saved the other day. Now, nobody likes to see what happened at that Church of Christ. But thank God that church was prepared. Amen. Thank God somebody was on their post, had not left his post. Are you getting what I'm saying? If you go to the coffee bar and nobody's there to serve you, you're going to say, "Where's Pat? Where's her people at? She left her post." You come up here for prayer, and the deacons are just sitting down here on the table. You stand in front of them, they just look at you. They left their post. God, I'm going to get with you in just a second. You may think that that prayer line starts when Treva calls them down. I know these people. That line right there started probably days before they come down here. They start praying, "God, give us the right prayer. Give us faith to believe. God, when we lay our hands on people, we believe that you're going to do something, not us." They take that post really seriously. There's something very unusual that happens in our services that doesn't happen many places. But we believe the word. We believe the word that says, if any is sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. Well, guess what? We just did that for you. We called the elders of the church. But now you've got to come down. I'm amazed at people at the end of the service will tell me they're sick, but I didn't see them come down. I can't do it for you. I'm going to say, well, let me go one more step. He won't do it for you. You have not because you ask not. And you need to come down and get prayer. And if the lines start getting so big, we'll make them pray shorter prayers. Okay, guys. Shorten it up. God hears the short prayers too. They just like to pray. I'm telling you, these people like to pray. They believe in prayer. That's why they like it. But your job is just as important as mine. I know you don't believe that. But it is. Your job is just as important as mine. But you've left your post. Some of you have bought into this belief that at 65, because you can retire from your job on this earth, that you can retire also from your job in the kingdom. I don't believe it. Matter of fact, about the time you retire from this job on your earth is about the time you're wise enough that God will use you in the church.
That's right.
It takes a few years. Jesus, the perfect one, did not start his ministry until he was 30. Well, it might take you double that. I'm serious. But don't resign to retire from the kingdom. Plug in.
Amen.
I'm sorry that our elderly people in this church feel like second-class citizens. I am doing everything in my power to change that about this church.
Hallelujah.
We need you.
Yeah.
And I mean that. With all my heart, I mean that. I believe as long as you can fog a mirror, God's got some plan for you to do. Talking to a lady the other day in pretty rough shape. She told me this, "I can still pray." I thought, oh, bless God, and can you? This woman knows how to reach heaven. She can still pray. You know what was going on? in this church, the church of Thessalonica. Paul preached the imminent return of Christ so strongly that they believed it. They believed that he was coming back any day. And because they believed that, they thought, why should I go to work? If he's coming back on Thursday, I'm going to enjoy Monday through Thursday, right? I'm not going to slave at a job when Jesus is coming back anytime. I heard a message in 1991 by Tommy Barnett talking about the return of Christ. I included this part in my sermon for you. And it messed with my head. Now, I believe that Jesus is coming back. But I heard it in such strength. I was making plans to go back to school and to do some things. And when I left that conference, I was messed up. Because I thought, why should I go to college? Why should I go back to college when he's coming back? You hear me. You must live like he's coming back tomorrow. But you must plan like he's not coming back at all. Does that make sense? So don't cut your plans short for education, for work, for family, for marriage. Whatever God has got planned for you, you keep planning. Planning is not from the devil.
Thank you.
God gave you a brain.
That's right. That's right.
Pentecostal believers, you can use it.
That's right.
It's good news, right? So anyway, when they unplugged from the world, you know what happened? They just laying around. They didn't have nothing to do. So all of a sudden, sort of like Pinocchio, they start getting their nose in everybody else's business. Well, it's no fun to stay home all the time. I wonder what Tommy and Pat's doing. Oh, really? Do you know what Tommy and Pat's doing? Oh my goodness, you would not believe this. Yeah, now we don't even have to gossip by ear, do we? We can just put it on Facebook. See, when you unplug, there's a good chance you're going to become a busybody. We read this passage of Scripture and we think, oh, yeah, okay. No, no, you're missing it. I command you, get back to work.
Amen.
Get to your post. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, the Bible says, and he gave some gifts to the church. He gave, now listen to this, he gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. See what I'm doing? I don't know where my notes are at. Can't do this one without my notes. Where am I? Okay, there we go. Sorry, guys. I'm just jumping all over this thing. Okay, so he gave these. The apostle is the only office that touches every other office. Right? So he governs. The prophet, he guides. The evangelist, he gathers. The pastor, he's married to the church. He guards. The teacher, he grounds. In your body, you don't know it, you can't see it. But these two little fingers here, last two, they're tied together by ligaments. The pastor and the teacher are tied together. And many times you'll have a teacher pastor in the church, and any pastor worth his salt better be part teacher, because he better be teaching and instructing that body. So we like that part. Ooh, yeah, yeah, yeah. We want you to do your job, pastor. Do your job. Why do we do it? To equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ. To equip you until we all attain to the unity of the faith, to the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to manhood. Verse 16 says, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it's equipped, when each part is working properly. You want to know what's wrong with the church? Each part's not working properly. See, we want to say what's wrong with the church is preachers. And I'll agree with you. I'll take some blame. I'll say, yeah, you're partially right. But I want you to know what else is wrong with the church. You. You just quit doing your job. See, I titled this 2020 vision formula, A plus B minus C equals D. I was trying to be smart. A is the lesson last week. You're going to have to be intentional. B is strategy. We're going to have to strategize some to get the work of the kingdom done. But I can tell you, for too long, our strategy would be, go, pastor, go. Go, pastor, go. And it's totally unscriptural. Amen. Go, church, go. Go, church, go. That's what it is. My job is to equip you so when you go, you have a little sense in your head. You can know. You know the scripture. You know what God does. You know when God speaks to you. He said, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. You thought that was original to Jamestown, didn't you? They went right to the scripture and took that out. I don't know how to say this without offending you. That really bothers me. We got too many bums in church. Freeloafing. You come to receive, and you 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 receive, and you're so fat with receiving. You're a dam and not a river. And God's not called you to be a dam. God called you to be a river.
Amen.
You're going to have to give out. And if we're going to do what God wants this church to do, it's going to happen because of you.
Right.
So today, what I'm talking about is strategy. How are we going to reach the lost people of this community without you? You know, it's really funny. This church is so unique. How many people drive 20 to 30 minutes to get to this church? Raise your hand. Look at that. So the community I'm talking, many times I say Henry County, but the community I'm talking about goes from Callaway County to Henry County to Carroll County to Benton County, some of Weakley County. We're about a 5-county church. We got a job to do. I asked you last week to be intentional, and I asked the Holy Spirit to put somebody on your mind. And I believe God. This week I'm going to ask the Lord to give you strategy on how to reach that person. I'm not going to give you strategy. It's not my job to give you strategy. I don't know the people that you're supposed to reach, much less the key to their heart. But He does. So I can ask Him to give you the strategy to reach your family. And I believe that He'll do that. A plus B, intention plus strategy minus C. C is complacency. It was the first service I brought to you on this. It was get back on your post. I know I'm talking to some people that's been in church for a long time. I'm probably not talking to new believers. I'm talking to people that could stand here and preach in my stead. You've left your post. You've become complacent. I'm so thankful for what you have done. Because of you, we have this building. We have this denomination. We have the freedom of the Spirit. We have the things that we need to operate because of your sacrifice. Because of you, we learned about how to operate in the Spirit of God. How to let the gifts and the fruit of the Spirit flow in our life. Because of you, we have the doctrine that we have today. But you have become complacent. You have bought into a lie that you're not important anymore. And you have left your post. And if I could salute you today, I'd say, get to your post and get to it now. Because that's the word of the Lord. I'm telling you, if you hear this in gentleness, you're missing it. This is not gentle. See, a drill sergeant is not gentle when he's talking to those underneath him. Hey, would you mind holding your gun a little bit? Do you mind? You need to sweeten up there a little bit. Straighten up, soldier! Right? They're in your face. You're snapping to attention. Do you even understand we're an army? Do you understand we're an army of undisciplined soldiers? And I'm sorry for that. But it's true. Come alive. Come alive. You need to use your words. And you need to divorce complacency. Now, I'll give you one thing. You maybe can't do what you used to do. You might be in a season of your life that you can't do that anymore, and he understands that. Seasons change, but doesn't mean you get to go home and lay down. If the body of Christ ever needed soldiers, we need it now. And it's not, I'm not just talking to the old people. I'm talking to these guys. We got our millennials that... Well, I could say this in a way that's not nice. That's the way I'm picturing it. No, you don't want me to say it. I'm pretty sure the Holy Spirit don't want me to say it. Yeah, I'm trying. Oh, Jesus. We got a group of kids that are so unusual. I mean, these are unusual kids. But even them, you're wanting to back up. You start to just want to float under the radar. Maybe if I just am not seen, I just get through high school, I just get through life. I'll just sort of float around. God's not called you to float. God not called you to be under the radar. He called you to march right into the radar. And it's time you put that backbone on. I preached a sermon one time. There's three bones that you need. It's a backbone, it's a funny bone, and some other bone that I came up with. I don't know. Probably wasn't the tongue bone. I'm pretty sure about that. But if I could lay my hands on each one of you, I would say, God, give them courage. Give them courage. Because you need an overdose of courage. I know it's not easy. It wasn't easy in 1979. I was there. I know it's not easy now. These kids have a rough way to go. So what do? We pull our kids out of schools, shove them in a corner, call it Christian school or homeschool. I'm not against those two. But look at our school system. It's going to hell in a handbasket. Why? Because we pulled all the Christians out of it. Well, we don't want to put them under so much pressure. Yeah, you do. Let's put them in a pressure tank. Let's gird them up with prayer. But let's put them in a pressure situation. Because when you get in the fire, impurities start coming out of you. And gold is refined in the fire. And we've been taught to run for the fire. And I'm telling you, change the way you think. Start running into the fire and quit running away from it. And that goes for you too. Thank you. Well, I wondered how this thing would turn out. I'm sure you are too. Treva's fanning herself, so I know it. 2 Timothy 2:2, he says, among these things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm committing the things that the Holy Spirit has given me to faithful men and women who will be able to teach others. What I give to you, I expect you give to somebody else. Each one teach one. In Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10, there's a story about a little short guy. I can relate to this pretty well. Jesus came to town. And he was not well liked, and he knew there's no way he was going to see Jesus. So the Bible says he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree, for he wanted to see Jesus. We focus on that. All of our focus is on Zacchaeus climbing that sycamore tree, and he wanted to see Jesus. I got news for you. Jesus wanted to see Zacchaeus. I believe that he went to town looking for Zacchaeus. Might have been a little surprised to see him in the sycamore tree. Well, there you are. Jesus had a strategy. He came to town because he wanted to look for Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus never prayed the sinner's prayer. As far as we know, Jesus never told him. But something happened in the presence of Christ that Zacchaeus stood up and he said, if I've wronged anybody, if I've taken anything from anyone that I should not have, I'll give it back four times. That's the price of the Old Testament. That's repentance. I think we probably undervalue who you are. You undervalue the fact that the Holy Spirit is in you. But you need to begin to strategize. You need to begin to be intentional about sharing the gospel. You need to ask the Lord for wisdom. God, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. You see, if I was writing that scripture, I would have never added in the word of our testimony. Give me a break. Are you really telling me that it takes my testimony to overcome? I thought just the blood of Jesus did it. According to Revelation, you overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. We have lots of testimonies. And people need to hear your testimony. How will they hear unless somebody tells them? I've done my part. I've been doing my part since we started this church. I take very seriously preaching the Word of God to you. I pray about every sermon. I allow the Lord to speak through me. I'm telling you, I speak it as clearly as I know how to speak it. It's time you do your part. Every person to his post. God did not put you in this church to be a pew warmer. I'm sorry. I don't believe it. God placed you strategically at this church because we need you. We need you. These counties that we're talking about need you. I will never be able to speak to the people that you have opportunity to speak to. So you got to do your job. So again, I say, back to your post, soldier. Get off your butt and get to work. Amen. That's as clear as I can make it. Atlantis, if you were able to follow me today, honey, bless your heart. Now, I could give an altar call that says, if you feel like you need to get back to your post, I want you to come up here. I got to lay my hands on you. Not every one of you. But it's not just for that. You see, I know the Spirit of God does things when I'm preaching that has nothing to do with me preaching. He's just working. He's moving in your life. He's speaking to your heart. I'm speaking and He's speaking and you hear His voice much louder. People tell me all the time, you know when you said this? And I think, I didn't say that. But you heard it. I thank God for the Holy Ghost.